Surely she had not lost yet more weight, and the warm colour only emphasised her pallor. Her lipstick had come off, and her ears were showing. She had tried to shake her hair over her ears and only succeeded in dislodging the small coronet of satin which Miss Stebbings had placed on the top of her head, and when she reached up to push it straight again, she spoiled the set of the skirt, and Mrs. Bellows drew her breath in through her teeth as though some terrible catastrophe was about to take place.
"Sorry," said Selina.
Miss Stebbings smiled quickly to show it didn't matter, and said conversationally,
"And when is the happy day?"
"We thought about a month, I think."
"You won't be having a big wedding?"
"No."
"Of course not, under the circumstances.
I don't really want to have a proper wedding dress, but Rodney, Mr. Ackland..." She hesitated again, and then said it.
"My fiancé."
Miss Stebbings beamed with nauseous sweetness. "He thought I ought to. He said my grandmother would have wanted me to be married in white."
"Of course she would. How right he is. And I always think a very small, quiet wedding with a bride in white has a special charm all of its own. No bridesmaids?"
Selina shook her head.
"Charming. Just the two of you. Finished, Mrs. Bellows? Now, how does that strike you? Just take a step or two."
Selina paced obediently.
"That's better. We can't have you tripping."
Selina wriggled slightly inside the rustling taffeta.
"It seems awfully loose." "I think you're getting thinner," said Miss Stebbings,
plucking at the material to make it fit.
"Perhaps I'll get fat again before the wedding." "I doubt it. Better make a tiny alteration, just to be sure."
Mrs. Bellows hauled herself off her knees and inserted a few pins at the waistline. Selina turned and walked some more, and finally the dress was unzipped, levered delicately off over her head, and borne away on the arm of Mrs. Bellows.
"When will it be ready?"
she asked, pulling her sweater over her head.
2 weeks, I think," said Miss Stebbings. "And you've decided on this little coronet?"
"Yes, I suppose so. It's quite plain."
"I'll let you have it a few days before, so that you can show it to your hairdresser. It would be rather sweet to have your hair swept up and through the coronet."
Selina had an obsession about her ears, which she considered large and ugly, but she said weakly,
"Yes,"
and reached for her skirt.
"And you'll see about the shoes, Miss Bruce?"
"Yes, I'll buy some white ones. Thank you so much, Miss Stebbings."
"Not at all."
Miss Stebbings held out the jacket of Selina's suit and helped her into it. She noticed that Selina was wearing her grandmother's pearls, two rows fastened with a sapphire and diamond clasp. She noticed, too, the engagement ring, a huge star sapphire set alternately in pearls and diamonds. She longed to remark on it, but didn't want to be thought inquisitive or vulgar. Instead, in a ladylike silence, she watched Selina pick up her gloves and held aside the brocade curtain of the fitting room and saw her out.
"Goodbye, Miss Bruce. It really has been a pleasure."
"Thank you. Goodbye, Miss Stebbings."
She went downstairs in the lift, walked through various departments, and finally out of the revolving doors and into the street. After the overheated interior of the store, the March day felt nippy. Above, the sky was blue, patterned with racing white clouds, and as Selina moved to the edge of the pavement to call a taxi, the wind caught at her, blew her hair all over her face, her skirt up, dust into her eye.
"Where to?"
said the driver, a young man in a sporty checked cap. He looked as though he might race greyhounds in his spare time.
"The Bradley, please."
"Rightio."
The taxi smelt of scented disinfectant, with an undertone of stale cigars. Selina got the bit of dust out of her eye and then rolled down the window. There were daffodils blowing in the park, and a girl on a brown horse, and all the trees were misted with green, the leaves as yet untouched by soot or the dirt of the city. It was not a day for London. It was a day to be in the country, to climb a hill, run down to the sea. The streets and the pavements were crowded with lunch-hour traffic, businessmen and shopping ladies and typists and beatniks and Indians.